The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school the mitzvot. Today's daf has been dedicated by Shlomo Bahari in memory of Yosef Ben Shlomo. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Daf Gimal. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on daf Gimal, and we start 11 lines down, starting with Amar Rav Shmuel. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzhak Halakha Siricha Shetehe Mechazeket Rosho Verubo Veshulchano. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak tells us that the minimum size of a sukkah, in order for it to be kasher, has to be able to be Mechazeket, meaning able to hold Rosho, his head, Verubo, the majority of his body, and Shulchano, and a table. Now the shi'ur of that would be 7 tefachim. The assumption is that a person himself can fit himself in 6 tefachim, in an amma, and then you have an extra tefach for a table. If you want to see a picture of that, in our books on number 14, you see the minimum sukkah. You see it's got the 7 by 7, and the table itself is a tefach. So therefore, that's the minimum size of a sukkah according to Rav Shmuel. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba tells him, Keman, ke Bet Shammai? Who are you going like? Are you following the opinion of Bet Shammai? Because as we're going to see in a Mishnah that talks about the minimum size of a sukkah, this was actually Bet Shammai's opinion. So they ask, what do you mean? You're following the halakha like Bet Shammai? Amar le ela keman. He says to him back, who do you want me to follow? That's the opinion. In this case over here, we follow Bet Shammai when it comes to the minimum size of a sukkah. Ika de amri. There's another version of this piece. Amar bi abba. De amar le chamani. He asks Rabbi Shmuel, who are you going like? Who told you this halakha? Amar le Bet Shammai hi. Velo tazuz mina. It is indeed Bet Shammai, and don't move from this psak. Which means this is it. Which is this would be according to our Gemara one of the exceptions that we follow Bet Shammai over Bet Hillel. Actually, if you look at the second Tosfot on the Daf, he says right in the beginning, Beseder Rav Amram. That's from the Geonim. Pasak b'shisha mekomot halakha kebet Shammai. In 6 places, he was posek, like Bet Shammai over Bet Hillel. Hada hay desukah desiricha shetem mahazeket rosho verubo v'shulchano. This is one of the 6. Then Tosfot goes on to give us the other 6. And then we'll continue with the other point of this Tosafot. So again, this would be one of the exceptional cases. Comes the Gemara and says, Matkif la Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak comes along and asks a question. Mimai de Bet Shammai u Bet Hillel besukah ketana peligi. You're going to quote me a Mishnah. Who told you that case in the Mishnah, that Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel were arguing on a sukkah ketana? And therefore you want to say that we're following Bet Shammai. Dilma besukah gedola peligi. Maybe their case that they're arguing on, which we'll see the case, Maybe they were talking about a sukkah gedola. Urgon diyatib apuma de metalta. Maybe we're talking about a case where the guy's sitting at the edge of the sukkah. Vishulchano betoch habayit. Which is, maybe I'll tell you the case of Betshemem Betelel's argument, which is a regular big sukkah. But so what was the argument then? Big sukkah, everybody says big sukkah is kasher. No, because it's a funny case. It's talking about where the guy's table is at the edge of the sukkah, meaning, and the table is in the house. Meaning he's sitting at the edge, and the table is in the house. So what's the gezerah? The Bet Shemai savri gazrinan shema yimashik ahal shulchano. That Bet Shemai will tell you, you know why you can't sit in the big sukkah? Because we're worried, since your table's in the house, you might get drawn after your table, you might end up sitting in the house. Ubetilel savri, lo gazlinan. And maybe Betilel will say in that case, it's okay, just to get an understanding of what we're talking about. In picture number 15, you see the guy sitting in a gigantic sukkah, and he's sitting right at the edge, and his table is in the house. So that, which means like this, we're going to see a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is vague. You can either learn the Mishnah, which is a machloket Bet Shammai Bet Hillel in the Mishnah, is the case sukkah ketana that they're arguing about, and Bet Shammai holds you need Rosho, Rubo, Vishulchano, or is the case of that vague Mishnah talking about the case we just mentioned? And therefore the Gemara is going to go back and forth now to try to understand what's the case of the machloket Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. And then we'll analyze who we follow. So the Gemara says, Vedaika name. You know what? It's meduyeket. It's precise in the Mishnah that they're talking about the case we just said. Sitting in a sukkah gedola with the table in the house. Diktani, because now it says in the Mishnah. Now you're hearing the Mishnah for the first time. Because it says, and this is the Mishnah you got to focus on. Mi shehaya rosho v'rubo basukkah. Right, the guy's majority is in the sukkah. V'shulchano betoch habayit. Right, and the shulchan is in the house. Bet Shammai poslin u'betilel makshirin. That's the Mishnah. Now, v'im ita. If you want to say that this case over here is talking about a sukkah ketana, if that's the machloket over here, mahazeket ve'ena mahazeket mev'ele. The language of the Mishnah should have been a little different. It should have used the word mahazeket ve'ena mahazeket. Can it hold or can't it hold? What does it mean? Rashi. Look at Rashi Dibura Matril ve'im ita. Right? Ve'bishu'ura de sukkah peligi litni sukkah mahazeket rosho v'rubo v'shulchano keshera v'she'ena mahazeket ela kede rosho v'rubo bet shemai posim etem makshirim. Which means, if the whole machlok was on the minimum size of a sukkah, the Mishnah should say very clearly, if the sukkah can hold you, your majority of your body, and your table, everybody says that's kasher. Oh, if it can't hold your table, then we have a machloket. Bet Shammai will say pasut, because he holds it's got to hold room for the table. Bet Shammai will say kasher. From the fact that the Mishnah did not discuss or use a language, sukkah, mahazeket, rosho, just talking about a case, a guy sitting in the table, in the sukkah, and his table's in the house. That's mashma, that we're talking about a big sukkah, and the table is at the house. Therefore, the gizras he might get drawn after his table. And that's what the machloket is. So ubu sukkah ketana lo peligi. So again, the Gemara says, "Well, you just learned that Mishnah that's about a sukkah gedola, implying what? When it comes to sukkah ketana, there is no argument." The Gemara says, "No, what are you talking about? There has to be an argument by sukkah ketana." Why? Because we have a clear braita that says, Mahazeket rusho v'rubo v'shulchano keshera. Now follow these two braita that we're going to quote now. One braita says, you have mahazeket rusho v'rubo v'shulchano. So that's got everything. Your body, majority, and your table. Keshera. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Omer, ad shiyeheba arba amot al arba amot. Rabbi says it's got to be a big sukkah. It's got to have four amot on four amot. Leave Rabbi's opinion. We're looking for now, focusing on Tanakama. V'tanya idach, we have another braita. Rabbi Omer, kol sukkah she'en ba arba amot al arba amot pesula. Okay, Rabbi is consistent. In the second braita, he also says for a sukkah to be kasher, it's got to have four amot. Now here's the contention. V'achamim omrim, Afilu ena mahazeket ela rosho v'rubo keshera. This Chachamim, the second right that says all he needs is rosho v'rubo, does not mention anything about
table.
V'ilu shulchano lo ketani. So we have a stira between the two brayot in the opinion of the Hakamim. Mm-hmm. The first brayot quoted an opinion of the rabbis that said what? You need rosho, rubo, shulchano. Second brayot said you just need rosho, rubo, does not say shulchano. How do you square off these opinions? Kashyan ahadadeh. It's a question. Ela lav shma'mina habet shamay habet elel. So I'll tell you very good. Really, one brayta is Bet Shammai's opinion. That's the brayta that says you need the table, the shiur for the table. It's an extra tefach. And the opinion that says you don't need the table is what? Bet Hillel. And therefore we've proven to you what? That indeed it's a mahloket, Bet Shammai, Bet Hillel on Sukkah, Ketana. We're going to follow what we did till now. We started in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shmuel came along and said, when it comes to Sukkah, Ketana, we say you need Rosho, Rubo, Shulchano. Gemara says, you're going like Bet Shammai? He says, yes, I'm going like Bet Shammai. So hold on. Where did you see Bet Shammai talking about a Sukkah Ketana? So what do you mean? We have a Mishnah. Mishnah is talking about a guy sitting in a Sukkah. Bet Shammai says it's Pasul. Bet Hillel says it's Kesher. Hold on. That's talking about a Sukkah Gedola. Mm-hmm. That's talking about a guy sitting in a Sukkah. You have your table in the house. Where does it say anything about a Sukkah Ketana? So hold it. I'll prove it to you. It's talking about a Sukkah Ketana because we have two Braitot. And the Hachamim in the two Braitot contradict each other. One Hachamim say what? You need Rosho, Verubo, Vishulchano. One Braita says you just need Rosho, Verubo. This is talking about a Sukkah Ketana. Do you need the table? Don't need the table. What do you have to say? The opinion that says you need Shulchano, Bet Shammai. The opinion that says you don't need Shulchano, Bet Hillel. So what do you want? This is a machlok of the Sukkah Ketana as well. And the Kabbalah says, Amar Mor Zutra Matniti Namidaika. You know what? Go back to that other Mishnah we just quoted, where the guy's sitting in the Sukkah and he's got the table, in the house. If you go back to that Mishnah, it's meduyeket that it's talking about a Sukkah Ketana. How? Mediketani Bet Shammai Poslin Ubet Hillel Machshirin. The language of the Mishnah over there was Bet Hillel is Posel. That's mashma. When you say the word Posel, it's going on the Sukkah. And Bet Hillel's Machshir is mashma the Sukkah. V'im ita. If you're telling me that we're talking about a Sukkah Gedola, Bet Shammai Unim Lo Yatsa, or Bet Hillel Unim Yatsa Mifa'ile. It should have said Yatsa and Lo Yatsa. Which is the way you learned that Mishnah, that it means what? You're sitting on the big Sukkah and you got your table in the house. Right? Bet Shammai should have used the language Lo Yatsa. Because it's going on the guy. Because it's Gizra, you might get drawn in. But it doesn't say Lo Yatsa. What does he say? Pasul. Pasul is mashma, we're discussing the sukkah. And what's the logic? Since the table doesn't fit in the sukkah, it's a small sukkah, it could just fit himself and his majority and not his table. And Bet Hillel says, no, such a sukkah is kasher. So now we basically have over here, we have a Mishnah that we don't know what it's talking about. Originally when we started the Gemara, we brought this Mishnah and said, you know what, from the fact that it doesn't say mahazeket, ve'eno mahazeket, it doesn't discuss how much the sukkah can hold, it's much we're talking about a sukkah gedola. Now we come along and say, you know what, from the lashon, makshirin and poslin, it's much we're talking about the sukkah itself and not the guy. Yes. So therefore we want to understand what does this Mishnah refer to. So the Gemara says, ve'ela kashya mishaya. Now we go back to the first question, which means when it says mishaya rosho v'rubo basukah v'shulchano b'tachabayit, if it was talking about a sukkah ketana, it should have said sukkah mahazeket, a sukkah that holds. So therefore we have like a proof for sukkah ketana, we have a proof for sukkah gedola. Make up your mind, what is that Mishnah talking about? Says le'olam betarte pelige. Conclusion. Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel actually argue on two cases. Peligi besukah ketana, peligi besukah gedola. Yes, they argue on both scenarios. On sukah ketana, sukah gedola. What about the Mishnah? The hasure mechsara. The Mishnah is missing some words. The achi ketani. Now here's the final version of the Mishnah. Mi shaya rosho verubo basukah. v'shulchano betoch habayit. So now you have, you're sitting in the sukkah, only you can fit rosho v'rubo. Your house, your table's in the house. Bet shamay omrim lo yatsa, ubet leil omrim yatsa. Oh, so that's the case of the gizah, the big sukkah.
Gedola.
Yes, sukkah gedola. How do you know yatsa lo yatsa? You're not yotze. Why? Sukkah's good. You've got a big giant sukkah. Problem is, you might get drawn after your table. So therefore, yatsa lo yatsa. That's the machloket bet shamay bet leil. Oh, v'she'ena mahazeket ela kedei rosho v'rubo bilvad. And if it can only fit the guy and not a table, bet shamay poslim or bet leil makshirin. So therefore comes out, yes indeed, there are two machlokot over here between bet shamay bet the fundamental machloket here in Masechet Sukkah. Begabei sukkah gedola, do you make a gezerah that you might get drawn after your table? Bet Shammai says you do make a gezerah, therefore he says lo yatsa, meaning the guy is lo yatsa. The sukkah intrinsically is kasher, but the guy himself lo yatsa because he's going to get drawn and he's going to end up in the house. Bet Shammai says lo yatsa, your sukkah is kasher, you're sitting in the sukkah, are your tables in the house? So what? You don't make a gezerah. Oh, next case, v'she'ena mahazeket, that if the sukkah itself cannot hold himself plus a little table, Bet Shammai says no good. You got to have that extra tefach for the table. Bet Hillel says no. Even if it can only hold the guy himself without the table, it is kasher. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the Tosafot, at big Tosafot, just look at scroll down a little. The Almash Pasak Behach Dehaka Kebet Shammai. If you look where Rabbeinu Hananel begins, maybe about five lines down, the Almash Pasak. We Tosfot just quoted that Rav Amram was posek by a sukkah ketana like Bet Shammai. You got to have enough to fit himself, majority, and his table, which is like a seven tefahim by seven tefahim, let's say. So Tosfot has a question. He says, "En lahaksot nehad v'aminim b'perek kamad b'rachot." Don't ask from the following Gemara Berachot. The Amar of Yosef, Asa kedivre Bet Shammai, lo asa velo kelum. The Gemara says, anybody that follows Bet Shammai, you did nothing. If you remember that Gemara Berachot over there was talking about Kiryat Shema. Right, Bet Shammai had a unique way to read the Kiryat Shema lying down, because he read the pasuk Ufshuk Mecha Ufkumecha Derech Shechiva. Right? And the Gemara even told the story over there where Rabbi Tarfon went on the road and he lied down to read the Kiryat Shema. He put himself in danger. And the rabbis told him, Kedai Ayita Lachov Be'atzmecha She'avalta Devre Bet Hillel. So the Gemara says, you follow Bet Shammai, you did nothing. Now, Umayti Ra'aya, and what's the Gemara's proof that if you follow Bet Shammai, you did nothing? They bring a proof, Ma'ahum Miltad Sukkah. They give a story of Sukkah. Ma'aseh Berabi Yohanan HaChorani. It was a rabbi called the Yohanan HaChorani. Shechala. He got sick. V'halchu zikne bet shamay v'zikne bet hillel lebakero. So the rabbis are the two schools. Of the Shammai school and the Hillel school went to visit the rabbi on Sukkot. U'mesa'u shaya yoshev rosho v'rubo v'sukkah v'shulchano betoch habayit. He was sitting in the sukkah. His table was in the house. Amru lo zikne bet shamay. So the rabbis of Shammai told him, "Im ken ha'ita noheg kol yamecha." If this is how you sat in the sukkah all your life, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah kol yamecha. Better, well, he was sick, and they told him on top of it, if this is the way you sat in your sukkah, you never were yotzeh. Now, umaskin al hatam, but the Gemara concludes over there that akar kerebi Yohanan HaChorani. That the Yohanan was right. You can sit in the sukkah like that, and your table in the house. Now, you'll tell me, hold it. There the Gemara is clearly telling you that you go like Bet Hillel, which means Bet, the rabbis of Shammai said, if this is what you did nothing. But we don't go like Shammai in this case. We hold like Rabbi Yohanan HaChorani. And therefore, that means we follow Hillel. And therefore, just like in Shammai's opinion, if you followed Hillel, you did nothing. The opposite would also be true. If you follow Shammai, you did nothing. Oh, so how could the Amram posek over here like Bet Shammai? So Tosfot answers, no, that case of Yohanan HaChorani was not talking about a sukkah ketana. It was talking about a sukkah gedola. What was the case of Yohanan HaChorani? He was sitting in a big sukkah and his table was in the house. On that case over there, we follow Bet Hillel. That what? We don't make a gizal, it's going to get drawn in the house. Rav Amram, he was talking about sukkah ketana. When it comes to sukkah ketana, we posek like what? We posek like Bechamai. In this case over here, this was talking about sukkah gedola. De betanti peligi. Ba'i alaka ke betelel. Ba'alaka be sukkah ketana. Ba'alaka ke Bechamai. So this one says chiluk. In sukkah gedola, we posek like bet Hillel, and sukkah ketana, we posek like bet Shammai. Don't bring me a question from the Gemara over there in Masechet Berachot. Comes the Gemara and continues. Man tana leha detanu rabbanan. Who is the author of the following braita? Bayit she'en bo arba amot. Al arba amot. Okay, you have a house. It's a very small house. It doesn't even have 4x4 amot. For argument's sakes, let's say an amah is 2 feet, so it's less than 8x8 feet, which is nothing. It's a tiny structure. So therefore, since it's not considered a bayit, it's exempt from certain laws that require bayit. First example, patur min ha-mezuzah. And we'll see why. But it's exempt from a mezuzah. Umin ha-ma'akeh. Ma'akeh is in English they call it a parapet, which is like a fence that you have to put, let's say, on the roof in order that nobody falls off. It's patur. Ve'eno mitame b'negaim. Negaim would be if, let's say, sometimes the house can contract tzara'at, leprosy, and the Kohen comes in and he renders it tameh. There's no laws of tzara'at by such a small house. We have a law in Israel, in a walled city, okay? When somebody sells a house, okay? So the seller has 1 year in order to buy it back. That's the law in Batei Arei Choma. They give him a year, the sale is not final. Until what? A year. After a year, the sale is final. However, when it comes to a bayit, that's less than 4 amot by 4 amot, it's not subject to that law. Continue. Ve'en chozrin alav me'orchei ha-melchama. You know the law of when a soldier goes out to war. If he just built a new house, he gets a dispensation, he can go back home. Right? The Kohen Mashuach makes an announcement. Hiya ish asher bana bayit chadash. Whoever just built a new house. So if he just built such a small little structure like that, that's not a house. You can't get an exemption from the war for such a house. Ve'en me'arbin bo, ve'en mishtatefin bo, ve'en manichin bo eruv. Let me explain to you all three cases. The first din is en me'arbin bo. That's Eruv Hasirot. Let's review what we learned in Erubin. You have a Hasir. Courtyard. In the courtyard, there's houses. Min HaTorah, you can carry in this courtyard because it's all considered the shoot Hayahid. But Hakamim came along and said, since it's a shared property, so it looks like the shoot Terabim in the sense that it's a shared public property everybody's using. In order to carry in the Hasir, you need what's called Eruv Hasirot. What's Arubi Hasirot? All the members of the Hasir have to partake in bread, right? And they put the bread in one of the houses over there, and it's considered they're all united, they're all one, and therefore they're all partners, therefore it's considered one reshut. This small house over here does not have to be part of the Aruf. Which means you don't have to go to this guy and collect bread, he doesn't ruin you, he's not part of it, it's not a house. So that's Arubi Hasirot. The next case, me'in mishtatefin. Mishtatefin is shitufe mevuot. Shitufe mevuot is, you have a mavui. That's the alley. Right? Let's take the case we said yesterday. Mavui satum. Right? It's got three sides. It's just open to the shutr miyav chatserot. You know, open into the mavui. Now, for the chatzirot, for the courtyard to be able to carry from one to another, not talking about the houses. Houses you need to be chatzirot. Now I want to go from one courtyard through the mavui to another courtyard. You need what's called shitufei mevuot. All the chatzirot now have to join. Same process with the bread. Or each chatzir gives a loaf of bread and they put it in one of the chatzirot. Now they're all considered one chatzir because again, the mavui is a shared property. Min haTorah you can carry in the mavui. It's got three walls. Gary, Hachamim came along and said, no, you need a shituf because it's shared. Now, let's say you have a chaser, and across the street from the Mavu, you got another chaser with this little miniature house. This is not considered a chaser with a house that needs to be part of a shituf. You don't count him. Which means, which means, therefore, the other chaser, it's considered one guy in the chaser. It's considered a Mavu. With one chaser and a bayit. This other guy is not qualified to consider a house. You got to add him part of it. Now, if there was 10 of these chaserot, and one of them was this chaser with this little miniature house, he's out. I mean, you don't count him. You just missed if everybody else. And then this guy's not part of the subject. So that's the en mishtatefin bo. Now, the en manichim bo iruf. Now, after you collect the bread, you have to store the bread in one of the houses. But it's got to be a house. And therefore, since this guy's got this miniature house over here, less than 4 amot, you do not store the bread in his house. Now, these are all the cases that the Braita brings. I would point out that Tosafot, he has a few more cases. Look at Tosafot, Bayit She'en Bo Dalet Amot Birushalmi, Hashiv She'en Tovel Lema'aser. Very good. We have a law, when you have grain, okay? When you pick the grain, you kotser it, whatever, you gather it, it's not hayav ma'asir until when? Until you bring it through the threshold of the house. Until you bring it through the threshold, that's not hayav. So therefore, when you bring it through the threshold of this little tiny house, there's still no hayav ma'asir. It doesn't become tevil, okay? The ma'asir. V'anoder min abayit mutal l'kanesbo. A guy makes a neder. I make a neder. I'm not walking in to a house. This is not considered a house. You can walk into that structure over there. The odd havile lememal le'anyan petach bet petach bayit av shel na'arah me'urasa. What's that case? The Torah talks about a case of a na'arah me'urasa. It's a lady that was engaged, but engaged means kiddushin. It's a legitimate, right? That she got married. After she got married, witnesses came along and said that when she was a Na'ara Me'orasa, she fooled around. She committed ni'uf. So the law says you got to kill her. So where do they kill her? They take her, the betin, and they kill her by her father's house. So if her father lives in one of these miniature, less than 4 houses, you don't go, you kill her in front of the betin. So therefore, nafkamina, also it's not considered a peta habayit for the law of Na'ara Me'orasa. Okay, so Tosfot gives you a few more scenarios. Why does bayit is not a bayit? So comes the Gemara and says, oh, more cases. Ve'en osin oto ibur ben shete ayarot. Okay, another case of Erubin. Let's remind ourselves of the laws. You have Shabbat, you have a city. Okay? You have 2,000 Ammah from the ends of the city to start your tum on Shabbat, how far you could walk. The whole city itself is considered like 4 amot, which means the whole city is considered one domain. You don't start the clock or the measuring stick of 2,000 amot until you get to the borders. Okay, good. Now we discuss a case like this. You have a city, okay? You have space in between, okay? We call that a karpeth, open space. And then you got another city after this empty space. Now, the shi'urim that we're talking about over here is, let's say you have 70 2/3 amma. That's the shi'ur of a karpeth. 70 2/3 amma after one city. And then before the next city you have 70 2/3 amma again. And then you have the next city. Okay? Now normally, this shi'ur of the karpeth, 70 2/3, would separate the cities. If you're in one city, you can only go to the border of that city, right? If you're in the other city, you can go to the border of that city because this space in between is separating. That means technically you have 141 and a third amah separating the cities. But the halakha is like this. If you have a house, a regular house right in the middle
of the two
karpifiyot, so now already it joins the cities, which means that's all one long city. And therefore, technically for Eruv purposes, your Eruv could start at the end of the second city, 2,000 Amma, or the other side. So therefore, it's a very important halakha, it's called an Ibur. Ibur means like a pregnant. Which means by having this house over here, it adds to the shi'ud of the city. However, if you have this little miniature house in the in between, that doesn't make a ibur. It's got to be a regular house. Let's read that inside, by the way. Look at the top rashi. Ve'enu asin oto ibur ben shte ayarot. Ditnam be'masichet arubin. Notnim karpef l'shte ayarot. You give a karpef, like an open space to the cities. Im yesh lezu 70 amah v'shirayim. If you have 70 and change, it's actually 70 and two-thirds. Ve'lezu 70 amah v'shirayim. And you give the other city 70 and two-thirds. Ose karpef l'shteim liyot ahat. There's a way to make both cities one. Shte ayarot amuvdalot zumizu kuf mem Aleph, Amot Mushlish, right? If you have 141 and a third Amma between, Ve'yesh Be'emsa Bayit, Nimsa Oto Bayit, Betok Shiv'im Amma Ve'dalet Tefahim Nishtem. It's within 70 and two thirds. Dalet Tefahim is two thirds of an Amma. Amma is six Tefahim, so Dalet Tefahim is two thirds. Na'ase Oto Bayit Ki'ibur Lahen, Ki'isha Ubra, like a pregnant lady, Shekiresa Boletet, right? Her stomach is protruding, Umistarefet Yot Shtem Kahat. But it protrudes to both sides, so to speak, and therefore both cities are considered one. Leilan be'ehat mehem. Let's say a guy, what's nafka? I mean, a guy, let's say on Shabbat, slept in one of the cities, okay? Shiyu shetehen lo kedal amot. Both cities are considered four amot, meaning he doesn't start his tomb of 2,000 till the end of the other city. Umone alpayim mechutz alahen. Dim yesh bayit pachot midal ramot, eno hashub netzarfan. That's the second, whatever, that's the nafka mina legabe, the law of Ibur. Good? Yeah. Next case. Ve'en ha'achin v'ashutafin cholkim bo. When it comes to the law of inheritance, brothers or partners that are splitting up an inheritance, this house over here is too small to split up for an inheritance. And the Gemara will explain exactly what the scenario is. Okay, so the laws of inheritance do not apply to this miniature house. Okay? Comes the Gemara and says, who's just going like this opinion? Well, let's analyze ourselves. A house to be a house has got to be what? For amot, it's saying. Well, we had an opinion above in the two braitot that for sukkah, Rabbi said minimum size of a sukkah has got to be what? For amot. Oh, so therefore it sounds like if you want to say that she taught a congruent, I can say that this opinion is following what? Rabbi. So the Gemara says, Lema Rabbi, velot banan. Right? Just like a sukkah has got to be for amot, so to a house it has to be for amot. Gemara says, no. Afilu tema rabbanan. I can even tell you the rabbis who say that a sukkah can be much smaller. Rosho, Rubo, Shulchano, Yes Shulchano, No Shulchano. Even less, I can tell you they agree that a house has to be four. Why? Ad kan lo kam rabbanan hatam elanyan sukkah didirat alayhi. A sukkah is a temporary structure. And therefore the rabbis tell you for a temporary structure you can get away with even a very small minimum shi'ud. Aval legebe bayit, but by a house, didirat kevau, what's the house? How's a permanent residence? Afilu rabbanan modu, di it be dalar amot al dalar amot, daire be inche. Ve'ilo lo daire be inche. For a house which is a permanent resident, permanent structure, you gotta have four amot. If it's four amot, people are gonna live in it. Less than four amot, people are not living in it. So therefore you see over here what? You see over here a principle that this house law of four amot can be going according to everybody. What do you mean? The rabbi said by sukkah you can get away with much less. Because that's a sukkah. Sukkah is a temporary item. Temporary item, you can get away with less. A house gotta be at least four amot. Very simple. Comes the Gemara and says, now the Gemara is gonna analyze all the laws we just discussed above. Now we digress from sukkah for a second. We go to the laws of houses. Amar mur, patur min ha-mezuzah, min ha-ma'akeh, ve'eno metameh b'negaim, ve'eno nechlat b'batei arehoma, ואין חוזרין עליו מעורכי המלחמה. מי טעמה? דבית כתיב בהו בכולהו. In all the cases we just quoted, in all those pesukim, the word bayit is used. Ha'alkat nashi. Kolehu bayit ketibu. Mizuzot betecha. That's how you know it's not hayav in a mizuzah. Kitivne bayit hadash. And the end of the pesukim, ve'asita ma'ake legagecha. That's how you know you don't have to put a ma'ake. Uba asher lo abayit. Right? That's the guy by Nega'im. The guy who has the house in Nega'im came into Zaz, got to go to the Kohen. Kiyimkor bet moshav. Or a guy sells his house. That's talking about the law of the 1 year rule, right? Asher bana bayit hadash. That's talking about the guy that goes back from the war. So you see all these cases we just quoted, it says in the Pasuk, bayit, and therefore it's patur. Now, ואין מערבין בו ואין משתתפין בו ואין מניחין בו עירוב. Let's analyze. עירובי חסרות doesn't have to be part of it. שיתופי מבואות does not have to be part of it. You don't put the עירוב in that house as well. You don't store it in that house. מי טעמה דלא חזה לדירה. Because it's not fit for a dwelling. Which means, who has to be involved in the Rubi Haserot, in the dwellers? This over is not a house that's fit for dwelling, therefore it's not subject to the law. So the Gemara says, now, Rubi Haserot, en manihim bo, aval shituf manihim bo. Watch this. The Gemara makes a diyuk. You told me you don't make Erubei Chatzerot, and you don't have to make Shitufei Mevuot, and then it says, Ve'en Manihim Bo Eruv. What does that mean? Eruv means Eruv Chatzerot. En Manihim Bo Erubei Chatzerot. Implying what? That the Shituf Mevuot, you can't put in that house.
Even though it's not
get the lashon of the Gemara. En manichim bo eruv. What does the word eruv mean? Eruv hacerot. Meaning, when you have a chaser and the house is over there, and they're divvying up the bread and all that stuff, you can't put the eruv hacerot in that guy's house. Oh, but if you're doing the shituf stuff from the chaserot, you're collecting bread from each chaser for the mavui to kosher it up. It's mashma. You can put the shituf in this guy's house. So the Gemara wants to analyze, why is Shituf, allowed to put in this guy's house, but Eruv Chaserot, not allowed. So the Gemara says, "My ta'ama, what's the reason? De lo gara mechatser shemebavui. Because it's not worse than the courtyard of the Mavui. We're going to learn the Mishnah now, it's going to teach us like this. Where do you put the bread for the Shitufei Mevuot? Well, of course you can put it in the house. But you know what the Hadush of the Mishnah is going to tell us? You can even leave it in the Hatzir. So long as you put it in a protected area in the Hatzir, you could leave the bread for your Shituf Mevot in the Hatzir. So this tiny little house over here is not worse than leaving it in the Hatzir. I mean, by Iruveh Hatzirot, where do you got to put the bread? In a house. So it's not a house. But by Shituf Mevot, for whatever reason, which we'll see in a second, you could leave it in the Hatzir. So it's like living in the Hasid. It's a make-believe. There's no roof, make-believe, there's no walls. It's a tiny little structure. So that's really the answer. Now the Gemara says, Ditnan, Erube Hasirot Behatzir. And this is a Mishnah. When it comes to Erub Hasirot, you can put it in the Hasid. Don't worry, the Gemara is going to explain what this means. Erube Hasirot Behatzir. When it comes to Erub Hasirot, you can put it in the Hasid. Shitufe Mavui Bemavui. And you could store the Shituf of the Mavui in the Mavui itself. Vavina by the Gemara analyzes. Eruv bechatzerot bechaser. You talk about you can leave the eruv chatzerot nachaser. Ve'atenan we learned hanoten erubo bebet sha'ar. If a guy put his eruv in bet sha'ar, you remember what bet sha'ar was? In front of the chatzer, had a little like booth where the shomer, the watchman, the security guard of the chatzer would sit. That's really not resident. It's like a little house. Not a little house. A little structure, we'll call it. It's called Bet Shah, like a gate. House gate. Or Aksadra. Aksadra is like a little, you want to call it a stoop. You want to call it more like a, It's an area that has a roof in front of the house, poles, no sides, you know, open, no walls.
Gazebo.
Like a gazebo or something like that. That's called an achzadra. If you put it over there, or a marpeset. Marpeset, we know it. Marpeset is like a porch, meaning a balcony, actually. Marpeset would be like on the second floor, they would have, let's say, a balcony going around, so you can access into your house going through the balcony. So the Mishnah says, if you put your eruv, hatzerot, in the becha'ar, or you put it in the achzadra, right, that's a little gazebo in front of the house, or you put it on the marpeset, eno eruv. Why? Because people don't live there. Mm-hmm. You got to put the eruv in a protected place where people live. So how are you telling me in this Mishnah you can put the eruv hasrot in the hatzer? What are you talking about? The hatzer, you're leaving it in the hatzer, people are going to walk and step on it and get destroyed. How do you interpret the Mishnah? Eruv be-hatzerot be-hatzer. That's the question? It's obvious. Now, the hadar sham, even further. Anybody that lives in these little areas, the bechah, the aksadra, the marpeset, in osir, you're not a dweller. Therefore, you don't osir the other guys in the chaser. Only dwellers are osir. So the Gemara says, you know what? Ela ema. Read the Mishnah like this: Erube chaserot babayit shebe chaser. Throw a word in there. When it says erube chaserot bechaser, it means babayit shebe chaser. You know what the hadush is? You might have thought you could put it in a house, maybe in a different chaser. Kamash, no, you got to put it in the bayit of the chaser that you're trying to kosher, but it's got to go in the house. Okay? Now, v'shetufe mevuot b'chaser shebemavui. When it said shituf mavui b'mavui, you can't leave it in the mavui. It means shituf mavui b'chaser shebemavui. It's got to be in one of the chatserot of the mavui, as opposed to putting in another chatser of a different mavui. And this miniature house over here is not worse than a chatser of a mavui. So again, let's review. If somebody would ask, guy has making the aruv chatserot over here. Right? They collected the bread from all the houses and all that. Now they're going to store it there. Can they store it in this miniature house? No. Why? Because the Mishnah that says Eruv Hatzerot Bachatzer, it means Bebayit Shebechatzer. This is not a Bayit. Okay? Now, I have my Hatzerot over there, but a Mavui. I want to carry from Hatzer to Hatzer. Right? So I got to make what's called Shitufe Mevuot. So I collect bread from each Hatzer. Now I want to put the bread somewhere. Can I put this bread in this miniature house?
Yes.
You don't got to collect from him. But I want to store the bread there. Yes. You know why? Because when it comes to shituf mevuot, it says shituf mevuot, you're allowed to put it in one of the chatserot of the mavui. Now again, it's got to be protected, obviously. You're not just leaving it and also letting it, not protected. But the point is, it's not worse. It means this house over here, consider it roofless, consider it walls, or what? It's like a chaser. Therefore, it's permissible. So that's what it means. Okay, now we go to the next case. Now let's analyze. She just gives us a logic over here. On a eruv chaserot, what are you trying to get? What are you trying to unite? Eruv chaserot, you're trying to unite houses. So since you're trying to unite houses, you got to put the bread in the house. But shitufe mevuot, what are you trying to unite? Chatzerot. Therefore, you put it in the chatzer, which is it always goes on what you're trying to unite. So since by the shitufe mevuot, I'm trying to unite a chatzer. Chatzerot, if we can leave it in the chatzer, that's the way that she explains the difference. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ve'en osin oto ibur ben shte ayarot. Right, you can't use it as the ibur to connect two cities. So the Gemara says, "Da'afilu keburganim do mashvinan le." Wow, it's even worse than a burgan. Burgan is like a hut. It's like a hut made out of straw. It's a very, very temporary structure. And who sleeps there? The shomer sleeps there. The watchman for the fruit, let's say. And according to some, or the hunters, they sleep there, right? The guys that are trapping the birds and the chickens. The point is, it's a very temporary structure. Maybe they only sleep there even for one night. But the point is, a burgan connects the two cities. This little tiny little house is worse than a burgan. So the Gemara says, "My tama, burganin hazul miltayu, valu hazul milte." Yeah, a burgan serves a purpose, by the way. The guy who has to sleep there overnight, he can sleep in a burgan. But a house that's less than four amot, it doesn't serve a purpose of the house. You understand? Which means as long as the structure serves its function, it's good. I don't care how flimsy it is or how temporary it is. A burgan, bottom line, temporary. It could be the house of less than four amot is sturdier. But the point is, burgan serves its purpose. I can sleep there overnight and watch the ferot and prepare himself for the hunting. But a bayit, which is a house that's less than four amot, it doesn't serve its purpose of the house. Therefore, it's worse than a burgan. Therefore, it cannot make an ibur. Last point. Ve'en ha'achin ve'ashutafin holkim bo. Now we said, well, when it comes to inheritance, the brothers cannot divide such a house. Okay? So the Gemara says, or partners. It's not part of the laws of inheritance. Ta'amad delit bedal amot. Smashwa, why? Because it has less than four amot. Ha itbe dal amot. Implying what? If it had four amot, holkin. Then you do split it. I guess you give this guy two amot, this guy two amot. Or you sell it and you divvy up the profits. The point is, four amot, it's inheritance. Come on, what are you talking about? We looked in the Mishnah. En holkin et ha-chatzer ad shiye ba arba amot lazeh ve arba amot lazeh. Minimum size of a property for real estate division is 8 amot. You got to have 4 amot at least for each brother. Otherwise, one cannot force the other to start splitting it. So therefore, what is this talking about over here? Why did you tell me there's no laws of inheritance less than 4? There's even no law of inheritance even if it's more than 4. So what are you talking about? So the governor says, no. Ela ema, read it like this. En bodin haluka kehatzer. It doesn't have the law of a haluka by a hatzir. Let's talk outside for a second. Let's say you have a courtyard. And now the brothers are inheriting, they're dividing a courtyard. There's laws, how do you split a courtyard amongst, let's say, two brothers? So the law says like this. Let's say you had three small houses in the courtyard and one big house. Four doorways, right? So one of the brothers says, you know what? I'll take the three small houses. And the other brother says, okay, you take the small three, I'll take the one big. Right? So the houses, they divvy it up beautifully. Now we got the airspace on the chaser itself. You got the courtyard. So there's a whole discussion amongst the rabbis, which you're going to see right now. How do you divide the land of the chaser? The houses they took, he took the three small, he took the one big. Comes out, one guy's got three doors in the chaser, and one guy's got one door in the chaser. That's going to affect how they divvy up the land of the chaser. How? So Gemara says like this. Damar Rav Huna, chaser lefi petaheha mithaleket. Amazing. You divide the chaser according to the doors. This guy that's got three doors, he gets three quarters of the chaser. And the guy with the one big house, you only got one door, you only get one quarter. Finished. And if you look in the book, you see that they gave you a picture, not that you need to, you can understand it, I'm sure. But the point is in 16. You see over here, guy's got three houses over here, right? He gets three quarters of the chaser. This guy has got a big house, only got one door. You get one quarter. What's the logic of that? So that she explains the logic is like this. What's the purpose of a chaser? Chaser, you're walking in, you're bringing your merchandise, you know, packages, stuff, back and forth. And therefore, the more doors you have, the more need you have for storage, for bringing stuff in and stuff out. That's what a chaser is, right? So you need more access space, we'll call it. So therefore, you go after the door. This guy's only got one door. How much access does he need? You know, he's only bringing stuff in from one door. Therefore, he has much less. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Chisda Amar, Noten lechol petah u petah arba amot, v'she'ar holkin. Oto b'shaveh. Now, Rav Chisda has a different breakdown. He says like this. Every door, you give it four amot in front of the door.
which means however wide the door is, right? Take the width of the door and just go draw lines 4 amot in front. So technically, you're right. The guy with the 3 doors, he's going to get, you know, an extra 4 amot on the extra doors that he has. But then after that, you divvy up the hatser, 50-50, you split it up. Okay, that's the shita of Rav Chisda. Now, regarding this machloket of Rav Hunan, that was what we're discussing now about this house. Let's say one of the houses over here in this chaser is this miniature house of less than 4 amot. When we said it doesn't qualify for the laws of splitting, we're not talking about where you're splitting the house. We know splitting the house, it's got to be at least 8 amot. That's different law. We're discussing over here, if a guy, let's say, has this door, does he get 4 amot in front of it? Or according to the other rabbi, does he get now percentage accordingly to that door? Right? Like the first rabbi of Hunah, does he get? So the Gemara is going to tell you, no. This is not considered a door, not to get an equal level in the Hatzir, not to get 4 amot in front. It's not considered a door. Why? So the Gemara speaks it out. Gemara says like this. Dehani mili bayit. This is only talking about a house that it's standing, meaning it's going to stay there. Yavina le hasir, you know, a house. So then you give him rights to a hasir because it's going to stand. Hide le mistar ka'e. What are you doing with this miniature house over here? You're not going to keep it. Eventually, you have to demolish it. So therefore, lo yavina le hasir. So the rule is, you only give hasir rights to a house that's going to stay there. This miniature house, no one's living in it. You can't live in this house. What is it destined to become? Demolished. So you want to get hatser rights now, whether it's for amot or proportionate, you don't get it from such a thing. Look at, so that's what it means. Okay, let's go back. When the Gemara said, ve'en achim bashutafim cholkim bo, what the Gemara says is, behatser, or kehatser, like the law of the hatser. Which means, judge, like the law of hatser, you judge doors. Regarding this little house over here, we do not split it like a hasir. Just we don't validate its door as a door to either get 4 amot or to get the divi of the hatzir itself. Let's just read the Rashi inside. 3 lines on the bottom. Dehani mili deshakil helik behasir bayit delemehevekae. Right? That's only when you take, you have a house over that's going to stand. Umivayil el hasir lefarik masao. What's the purpose? The purpose of the chassid is because you need it to unload your stuff, to load your stuff, that way you're in and out of the house. But since it's not a house, so therefore, what do you need your chassid for? Right? The whole purpose of the chassid is for loading and unloading purposes. And therefore, it does not qualify. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.